Welcome to the Relaxed Running Podcast, the show that helps runners and athletes in running-based sports transform the way they run. Here's your host, Tyson Popplestone.
Ladies and gents, this is the Relaxed Running Podcast. I hope you're doing well. Sitting here on a Friday morning, had a big session yesterday. The legs have that pleasant feeling of soreness in it. You know when you've worked hard the day before, you wake up and it's not an injury niggle, but it's just a, hey, I worked hard kind of niggle. Niggle's the wrong word. It's like a dull ache that only athletes can really appreciate. I sometimes wake up and say to my wife, I go, oh, I'm sore today. That's awesome. And she's like, mate, you're one of the biggest weirdos I've ever met. And I feel it's a fair call. It doesn't make that much sense, but I'm sitting here with that feeling because it feels like strength is kicking in. Maybe that's a many years of just understanding what's actually happening when you take place. When you first start running, you're confused, aren't you? You're never 100% sure whether it's pain or injury or it's something to be really careful about. But as you start to differentiate between, you know, what's a serious injury that needs to be rested and treated and what is just some good solid DOMS the day after a workout, it's much easier to appreciate that. But I'll tell you all about it soon. This is the April update for Chasing 229. I came at you in mid-March with the first episode. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of an update on where we're at, what's going on. I have since then officially ticked off 10 weeks of consistent running at 50 kilometers a week. I range between 50 and I think my biggest was 56 kilometers a week for a 10-week block, which was my gateway into being able to add an extra run into my training. So I found so much consistency, and throughout that consistency, as I mentioned in the first episode, started to find so much rhythm, which has been amazing. Because despite the fact I'm doing this, I think for so long I fell into that routine of thinking, okay, if you're going to run faster in a race, you have to run faster during training. Now, obviously, that's true to an extent, but if you're doing so much intensity and speed in your training, then the ability for yourself to be able to do that consistently is put at risk a little bit more. Because obviously, the more intensity we add into our week, the more our body's forced to try and recover. And if we're not recovering in between sessions, then it's a pretty tough game getting back out there and doing that time and time again. So I've sacrificed potentially a little top end fitness for the time being with the intention of developing consistency and strength and rhythm. And honestly, this is the most I've ever enjoyed running. And I say that, I was thinking about this yesterday after my session, because every Thursday is my session day at the moment. And we'll go through all this in a little more structure in a moment. But Thursday is my session day, and I don't really remember a time in my running career from 2001 to about 2014 when I was really going hard, where I loved getting out there and training as much as I do now. I've just got a new love for the sport. It's just there's no better form of exercise to me. I do a lot of yoga, I do a lot of gym, I do a little bit of swimming, but my favorite post exercise feeling is after a run. Particularly after a harder session where I've had to work a bit faster, work a bit harder, not even necessarily work harder, but just run a little bit faster. And so it was great. In saying that, last week I was over in Perth where I went for comedy. I was over at the Perth Comics Lounge I had six gigs there. I had seven or eight gigs from Wednesday to Sunday when I was in Perth. And so it was a bit of a hectic kind of week. It was probably the one week in the last 16 weeks where I'd really noticeably been tired. And I think that was for a combination of factors. I mean, I had the intention of when I got off the plane in Perth, I was going to go and get my hire car, which I did, and then drive out to Kings Park Botanical Gardens like a real tourist, which I did. But one thing I didn't take into consideration, and I'd forgotten because it had been so long since I'd been to Perth, is that Perth actually has an awesome summer. And so when I got off the plane at like lunchtime, by the time I got the car, my only time to run was going to be at about 1:30 during the day. And so I had a gig that night, had to go and see family before that. So I was like, all right, now's my time to run. And I had 12Ks on the schedule, which was fine. It was only ever going to be really slow. And it was slow because I used to train at Kings Park on a weekly basis when I lived in WA in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. And I forgot how hilly it was out there. I've been too used to Point Lonsdale life where I go out for an easy run and my easy runs are easy. And I went out there and I was thinking, like, what's going on with my heart rate today? It's all over the shop. And it just turns out, like, it was very hilly. It was very hot. I think I was slightly out of whack because I'd felt like I'd been on a plane forever. But that was like a... any other context, if you're not a runner, that's the most beautiful welcome to a state or a city that you could ever get. 31 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is, Fahrenheit, sorry. But it was hot. It was really nice. But what I noticed after that, I was like, oh, gee, like running 12Ks in this heat is not something I'm used to, despite how slow it was that I ran. And that kind of set the trend for the rest of the week. I decided at the end of that run, I was like, all right, there's no sessions taking place this week. This week's just about getting some volume, some nice, easy running. I hadn't had a week that I hadn't done a session for quite a while. So it was good timing anyway. But yeah, 12Ks last Wednesday. Was it last Wednesday? Yeah, Friday this week. Yeah, so Wednesday a week and a half ago, I was running around Kings Park. 12Ks there, very hot, very tired. Sweating like a champion. I mean, my body was grateful post-run. And it's a really nice place to finish a run post-run and just be exhausted because I've got some of the best views in Perth. So sat down there, decided that the next day I was going to swap my, my Thursday and my Saturday run. Is that what I did? Because I was tempted originally to go and join up with Raf Bohr, who has been on the podcast here a couple of times. He's got a group front running over in WA. He's a great guy with a great crew. Actually, Dean, one of his athletes, just ran an awesome marathon around 2:17 over in Japan a couple of weeks ago. So I was really thinking about getting out with them on Saturday, but I had gigs on Friday night. And he said, yep, we meet at Kings Park at 6:30 in the morning. And I thought, well, you can get stuffed. There's zero chance I'm getting up. I was staying in a place called Two Rocks, which was about an hour away or hour-ish away from Kings Park. So I wasn't getting up at 5:30 after getting home at midnight after my gigs to do that. So yeah, Thursday was off the top of my head. Pretty sure that was my easy 8K. That was my recovery run. And then possibly didn't consider how tired I really was going into Saturday's run. So I did my post-flight shakeout. And then, yeah, the day after that, went along the West Coast Drive in Western Australia. I used to live in WA, and I forgot how beautiful the city was. If you look at my Strava, I've tried to add some photos. West Coast Drive is, I was running between Hillary's Boat Harbour and sort of Scarborough. I didn't make it to Scarborough. I did 4Ks out, 4Ks back. It is just idyllic. Like that whole coast, if you haven't been there, if you've got any plans to go to WA, really encourage you to get to Hillary's, go for a jog along the West Coast Drive. It's a concrete track essentially. But I mean, if you're not running too far, if you're just going for a walk, it's unbelievable. Ran past Waterman's Bay, looked at that, get sentimental about the fact that I used to have school camps and day trips and stuff there. Again, really tired, ran 8K that day at 5:09K pace, heart rate was 115. And then had the Friday as my recovery day. I think I ended up doing some yoga. Usually I would do a strength there, but I was like, nah, my body's a little cooked. Then the day after, I was thinking mostly about volume. And so I thought, okay, with the intention that today's going to be a very easy run, my cousin Jamie drove me out to the Yanchep National Park where I clocked up 14Ks at just over 5 minute K pace, 5:01. What was that? Started at 7:45. So it was, I dodged a lot of the heat, but it was still pretty warm. Heart rate 124. That was nice. So I was running through this path. I can't even tell you where I ran to exactly, but it was like a relatively new trail. And it had a rich history of like certain indigenous tribes just living all along this trail. And as a result, they had a heap of markers and man, it felt like you're going back in time. It was a really beautiful run. I loved that. And then the day after I went back out to Yanchep National Park for my long run, I had 18Ks, heart rate 119 average. I ran with my cousin, Jamie and his wife for the first couple of Ks. And then I branched out by myself, ran the last 15Ks. Again, pretty tired after a hot week of running, by this stage, I already had 7 gigs in my body. I think the thing with comedy is it's like an emotional toll, because obviously there's a certain element of stress and anxiety and nerves and excitement that comes with a night of comedy. And so the Saturday night, I did 3 gigs. I did a 5:30 show, a 6:30 show, and an 8:30 show. The 5:30 and 6:30 shows were just unbelievable. It was like when you run a PB and you just know why it is that you do this particular sport. I felt that after the 5:30, 6:30. The 8:30 one went okay, but the first 2 shows were electric. And so, yeah, the emotions were just off the charts. And sometimes it's hard to sleep after it. Like, whether you do really well in a gig or whether you absolutely bomb, sometimes getting home at midnight after a gig like that, it's hard to settle down because your emotions are just pinging. And so I wandered over with all the Perth locals and got a grilled burger at the end of those gigs. But yeah, that was good. I was really happy with my rounding out of that week. So I ran 62K for the week, my first week over 60 for as long as I can remember. Man, you know, running is obviously a consistent part of your running. Because as soon as I saw my cousin, who I saw 6 months ago when I went over there for gigs, he's like, "Oh, dude, you're getting skinny." And you know you're a serious runner when, you know, within reason, obviously. Like, you don't want to be skin and bone. Gordo Byrne says you don't want to lose all your weight. You obviously want to maintain some form of strength and not worry about losing those extra kilos. Because obviously when you start to get too skinny, you're putting your health a little bit more at risk. You're leaving yourself a little bit more open and susceptible to illness and things, particularly if it's because you're training really hard or you're not eating well. Or not eating enough. And so, but within reason, I got to his house and he goes, "Oh, you're skinny." And I was like, okay, well, that felt like a compliment. So that's a sign that training's really going well. I got back to Melbourne on Sunday night. I had the smoothest run from Perth to Melbourne. I was supposed to get a train at like, or a bus from Perth Airport back to Geelong at 11:55, but the plane landed early. I got out. The bus that I was booked on was leaving at 10:20 or at 11:55. And so I was standing at baggage claim looking out. I could see my bus. It was like 10:18, and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to have a dream run here. And I started making deals with the universe about what I'll do if my bag comes out. Anyway, as luck would have it, the bag came out. The bus was getting ready to close. I grabbed the bag, bolted to the bus. I go, "Mate, can you save me 2 hours of waiting at the airport? Drive me home." He goes, "Jump on, young son." And so I jumped on, drove home, had a taxi booked, was home before midnight, had a really good night's sleep there, which was great. And then amazing how quickly my body just responded or got back into routine over here in Victoria, where naturally the weather's 25 degrees cooler. It's constantly overcast. I shouldn't complain. We've had a beautiful last couple of months. It's been unreal. But what have I done? So Sunday, yeah, Monday was a rest day for me in the sense that I didn't run, but I got in and I did my endurance essentials gym routine from the base phase of the runner's strength training guide. That's the Angelo Gingerelli book that I think I mentioned on the podcast a couple of weeks ago when I did my first Chasing 229 episode. Loving the gym. Loving it for a variety of reasons. I'm obviously training specifically for marathon running at the moment, but just the idea of putting in strength work and flexibility work and the running, I just feel is such a nice investment into my future. So I like to make sure those muscles are strong. I like to make sure you know, really invested in my bone density and functional movement. And so I love being in the gym for that reason. It's only like a 45-minute session. So what is it? It's 2 rounds of 3 exercises. Sorry, no. Yeah, 2 rounds of 3 different exercises, and you do 3 reps for each exercise, if that makes sense. So I start with like a 60-second ab routine. What did I do last week? 60-second of abs. That was a plank, I believe I did to start with. And then I moved into some barbell backward squats. So 1 leg at a time. I was doing that at 50 kilos, which was, that was a decent workout. The glutes were sore the next morning. And then the final exercise of round 1 was, I think I was doing some deadlifts actually. Some deadlifts. And then I can't actually remember. I don't have the book in front of me, but I did 3 rounds of that. And then I did my two sets of calf exercises. I did some lat pull downs. I did some chin ups. I've completely blanked on what I did for the second round of three exercises, but it was a nice little variety. Walked out of there feeling good. I like being thin but strong. That's how I always feel I run my best. I'm still carrying more weight than I think I will when I'm obviously racing. I'd be about 75 or 76 kilos right now. When I used to be at my lightest when I was racing, I think I was around 67 or 68, which is, I look like a giraffe if I'm completely honest. So I'm not convinced I'm ever going to get back down to that again, but we'll see. Marathon training naturally has the ability just to strip weight off you, but I'm definitely not adjusting my diet. I'm eating very naturally, as I mentioned in the first episode. I just feel good. I like eating whole foods. I like eating veggies. I like eating fruits. I like eating organic, little bits of meat here and there. I'm still really figuring out what feels best for me. My current pre-run favorite meal about an hour before. You got to be strategic, don't you? Because otherwise things get messy. But I love like a little amount of oats or porridge, a bit of honey in there. Probably an hour and a half before, if I'm honest, before I even step out the door for a warm up. And then just like a little espresso or a double espresso. Or if I'm being inspired by one of my athletes, Mark McCullum, who came up to the Falls Creek camp with us last year. I'm on the Piccolo bandwagon as well, but that's probably a little more fancy than what I'm capable of making at the Popplestone household. I've just got my mocha pot where I mix that up in the morning. I went and made a big investment a couple of days ago. 2 days ago, I went to Active Feet here in Ocean Grove. Drove up the road to pick up my racing flats. Man, if you're a local, I don't know where Active Feet is, but I've been so impressed, obviously not a sponsor. I've been so impressed with these guys as just a business. You know those businesses that put like a sweet little touch? They're efficient, they're responsive, you get what you ask for. And then it's got like a nice little touch. I ordered my Saucony Endorphin shifts off them about 6 weeks ago, and they were at my door 2 days later. I think it was faster than they told me. Had a nice little note from him in the top, not handwritten, but I mean the sentiment was nice. Just thanking for the orders. I went and left him a review because I mean, that's just like my new thing that I do now if I'm so pumped with a particular business. And then I thought, you know what, I was online trying to find where I could get my new race shoes. And I thought, I'm just going to go up to Active Feet, see if they have them. They did me a good deal. They had last season's ASICS Metasky Plus race shoes. So I was tossing up between the Metasky Edge, Metasky Plus. I think the drop from heel to toe in the Edge was a little bit more significant. I don't know. The weight seemed around the same, but I'm not trying to break world records. Stupidly, I took my little boy, Charlie Man, with me to choose my shoes, and I gave him the option because they had like a reddish pink color of shoes, or they had the blue and orange. Between me and you, I wanted the pink. They're a little more obnoxious. They're a little more out there. But I said to Charlie, I go, buddy, hey, you can choose. Which one should Dad get? And he looked at me like it was ridiculous, like as if a boy is going to run in pink shoes. And so he told me to get the blue and orange, which I tried to encourage him to let me get the pink, but he wasn't having it. He wouldn't be seen at a race with me in my pink shoes. And so I've got my ASICS Metasky Plus, I think they're called, three, blue and orange. ASICS is the one brand that have seemed to avoid like the woke bandwagon, which is why I'm a little more loyal to them. this is a tangent, but when it comes to getting running gear, I just want, just sell me running gear. I don't care that much about what you think about men or women or politics. I just want to get my running shoes. And so that's my own little silent protest now is I'm just going to support the brands that don't do that. But who cares? I mean, go Nike. I've got a photo of Prefontaine here, and I'm pretty sure I've got plenty of Nike attire, but that's my recent little bandwagon that I'm on. So ASICS, I'll be rocking. Nike's probably grateful because the speed that I'm going to be racing is not going to be enough for anyone to be inspired to to buy Nikes. It's not like I'm a sponsored athlete, but I'm getting really excited for Ballarat in a couple of weeks. I've got to register today. Ballarat 10K is coming up. I'm aiming for 35 minutes. That's the plan. I think it's reasonable. I don't know how much room I've got in my tank. Yesterday I went out and I did my tempo run. at 3 minutes 42 average pace, which was probably the smoothest. That was for 30 minutes. That was the smoothest I felt in that session in recent history, I reckon, for like the last 8 years. The idea, even 2 months ago or 3 months ago, of me running 3 minute 42 pace for 30 minutes seemed like a little bit of a stretch, but that felt really comfortable, felt really good, which I was happy about. Had like a couple of random 3:30 splits in there, which didn't feel like they were too much more of an effort, which was great. So I think in a race environment with race shoes, not by myself, hopefully good conditions. Obviously, you're out there on race day. You're there to really push yourself. Yeah, I think 35 minutes. I think 35 minutes is maybe I might break 35 minutes, actually, as I speak about this. But time will tell. I might be getting a bit ahead of myself. The plan is I'm going to go out and I'm just going to run 3.5 minute K pace, or aim. I should say aim, because I actually don't know if I can. I'm going to go out and aim to run 3.5 minute K pace for that first 5K. And then after that, I'll try and bring it home. If I've got anything left in the tank, I'll try and bring it home a little bit quicker. But as I said, time will tell. But just so excited to get up to Ballarat in a couple of weeks and be a part of that. I've got a couple of athletes running the marathon and the half marathon, which will be really great. I'm going to be running the 10K, as I said. So that'll be my first. I don't think I'll do a significant taper. I think I'll just treat that more as a part of my race plan. That'll be the session for the week. Maybe I'll cruise a little more. I won't do the session on the Thursday. Instead, I'll do an easy recovery run on the Thursday with a couple of strides thrown in before that at race pace. Rest on the Friday, or maybe a really slight easy jog. I've got family in Ballarat, so I might go up to Lake Wendouree the day before. One guy that I've done a bit of work with is going to be up there. So we're organizing a little pre-race run, potentially, with big Luke Fortune, which I'm looking forward to. Be nice to. I haven't met him face-to-face, so I'll be looking forward to that. And then after that, the next race that I had planned was, it's Run for the Kids, isn't it? I always get, Run Melbourne has just been run. Run for the Kids is coming up in a couple of months, I think. That's the end of July. I reckon I'll do the half marathon there and have a really good hit out before I start my 12-week build-up for Melbourne Marathon. I mean, as I said to you, I'm in the same boat as I was last year in the fact that Melbourne Marathon sold out in its fastest amount of time ever. I remember after last year, I thought, okay, well, I'll get in really early this year. I was planning to sign up before the end of... Actually, I don't know. I don't actually know if I had any significant plan, but I found out like at the end of October that it had already sold out for next year. So if you've got any connections, if you're at Athletics Victoria, Athletics Australia, and you have a ticket, can you give it to me? Please. That's what I'd really like. So they're the three races, as you know, if you listen to the first episode. Hey, in the future, what have I been doing for rehab and stuff like that? Been doing a lot of foam rolling. Just in the evening, like nothing too structured. I'll just sit down with a foam roller, sit down, do some stretches. Last night we watched that Kill, I don't know if you guys know the Kill Tony live podcast. It's so brutal. You should check it out. It's a comedy show for comedians. It's pretty out there. So if you're sensitive or you don't like bad language, you got kids around, or like terrible comedy is offensive to you, don't watch it, because it is essentially a live panel. Last night they had, there's always like a special guest. Last night they had Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, Tony Hinchcliffe is the main guy. Brian Callen is part of the panel. And they just have a person come out and do 60 seconds of stand-up comedy, and then they essentially just rip them to shreds unless they're good. Most of them bomb. Some of them do really well, but it is a very uncomfortable experience. Most uncomfortable part's the conversation after their actual 60 seconds. So if you haven't checked it, check that out. Yes, I'll be doing the foam rolling, stretching in front of the TV is what I'm trying to say. Which has been really, really helpful. I think it's helping with my recovery to a large degree. Also, just before I let you guys go, I have been telling you that Steigen have got on board as a sponsor of the show. If you're a fan of Steigen, or if you're a fan of comfortable running clothes, particularly comfortable running socks, you can say this, they have a blister-free guarantee. If you struggle with your blisters, I don't think I'm making that up. Or they've got a bloody good reputation when it comes to athletes not getting blisters in their gear. They're giving every listener of the Relaxed Running Podcast 15% off any of their products. simply use the coupon code RR2024. That's RR2024 upon checkout to get 15% off. Also, Pillar Performance has hooked us up with a couple of bags of their magnesium supplements, their magnesium powder. So if you would like to get access to that, I'm asking you to do me a favor. Now, can you jump across and if you like this podcast, leave a little review, ideally 5-star review. If you don't like it, and you're 25 minutes into a podcast, you should have turned it off ages ago. If you don't like it, don't bother about the review. Don't worry about it. Just nice reviews would be really good because they're the ones that help the show, as far as I know. I mean, to be honest, if it's a shit podcast, just let me know. That'd be helpful too. But your comments, your feedback, your thoughts, what you like about the show, what could be improved about the show would be great. And I'm going to go through and read those comments, ideally on Apple Podcasts. I haven't quite figured out. Spotify, for some reason, my podcast is listed twice. I don't know what's going on there. So I don't see reviews or ratings on Spotify. So if you're a fan, jump across to Apple Podcasts, leave a review, leave a rating. Let me know what you'd like to see more here. I've done a couple of solo episodes. And the idea there is I'm gonna pick one at random, one of those comments at random, and read it out in the next couple of weeks on the show to let you know who the winner is. So you win if you leave a comment, essentially, unless there's 100 comments and I just have to pick one at random. So, I mean, roll the dice. Anyway, far out. I've had one coffee this morning, but I can feel it. I'm coming at you with pace. But that is probably enough from me for today. I'm just trying to think if there's anything I've left out that I shouldn't have. Oh, I've done a couple of these solo podcasts recently. Got guests coming back in the next couple of weeks, lining up one with Matt Fox from Sweat Elite. We've got M. Durgan coming on again, talking to Angelo Gingerelli. Who else have we got a couple of cool guests coming up. If there's anyone that I haven't had on here who you'd like to hear from, let me know. I'd love to reach out to them. Or if you've got any good connections, also reach out. Would love to hear from you about who it is and why they'd be a good fit for the show. Anyway, I hope you guys are all doing well. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you here again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Relaxed Running Podcast. If you're ready to become a faster, more efficient runner, visit www.relaxedrunning.com.